get some sad news every day in the wake of this pandemic. And George, you got some really sad news last night.
Yeah, we lost 1,800 Americans to this terrible pandemic yesterday, COVID-19. And one of them was the great John Prine, who we've talked about on this show a number of times, most recently when we heard he'd been admitted to a hospital in Nashville late last week. And over the course of doing this show, I've talked about John Prine a number of times. He was one of my musical heroes. I was introduced to him at a young age. And it was my brother who called me last night to tell me the news. And then it's interesting how music passes through generations. And my son texted me from Austin with the news. And we shared a family group text together and talking about John Prine. And this is a guy who grew up in Chicago. When he graduated from high school, spent some time with the U.S. Postal Service, joined the Army, went to West Germany, came back, was a mailman again. And as he was delivering letters, he would come up with songs. He had some downtime, so he would come up with these songs. Went to an open mic night at a place called the Fifth Peg in Chicago. And he would tell the story on stage many times about the second time he got to play there, because after he did the first time, I think he did two songs, and the owner of the place said, "Hey, people seem to like you. Why don't you come back next week and do like 45 minutes? Problem was, he only knew about two or three songs. So he had to come up with some more. And as the story goes, I don't know if it's true or not, that he wrote a couple of them on the way to the gig, one of them being Souvenirs, which was one of his early songs. And at those shows, he started to get this following around Chicago, a cult following around Chicago. And one night, a singer-songwriter named Steve Goodman dragged Kris Kristofferson into this Fifth Peg. And Kristofferson said he'd never heard anything like it. And he befriended John Prine. Apparently they went and sang songs together afterwards and played guitar for one another. He eventually got John Prine his first record deal with Atlantic, and after that, it was history. He was regarded as one of the great singer-songwriters in America. He had the backing of Kristofferson. Dylan then heard him and thought he was just the best thing he'd ever heard and talked about his lyrics. And his first album was incredible, self-titled John Prine. He would write sad songs. He'd write funny songs. He was all over the map, but probably best known for his ballads and his really sad songs that made you think. And on that first record, Hello In There and Sam Stone, back-to-back, have to be the two saddest songs ever put back-to-back on an album. Hello In There is about people growing old and what happens and how they're lonely and don't just turn and walk away to interact with. And he wrote this when he was 22 years old. To have that old soul, to have that, what's it really like? And I'm sure this came from the experience of watching his grandparents grow old, maybe watching his parents. He had that insight, but it was such a great song about capturing what happens when we grow old. Sam Stone was a song about a Vietnam vet who comes back and dealing with life back in the United States, dealing with a drug habit. The lyrics in that song, there's a hole in daddy's arm where all the money goes. Jesus Christ died for nothing, I suppose.
Mark.
No, don't mark that. Really, really heavy lyrics. And listening to that as a kid, and I was introduced to him, as I mentioned yesterday when we ran down our favorite bands of all time, so much of my musical influence came from my older brothers and sisters, and my brothers were big John Prine fans. They bought that first album in 1971. I was like 5 or 6 years old and would listen to the songs, and I would get this incredible emotion from listening to these songs. Angel from Montgomery was also on that album. Bonnie Raitt would later record it, turn it into a hit. It was never a hit for John Prine. And I say the rest is history for him. Like you guys growing up, you never heard John Prine on the radio. He didn't get played by most radio stations, certainly top 40 stations.
Yeah, I knew the name, but I could not name a song or tell you what he looked like or even sounded like.
Yeah, and I think when we started hanging out in college, I would play maybe some John Prine for you every once in a while. I had his albums. I'd either stolen my brother's albums or I had bought my own. But he also had funny songs. Please Don't Bury Me, really funny song. And as a kid, I thought these songs were really funny. And I had such a personal connection with him because at our family gatherings, it was at least unique, I thought. And again, just as set the dynamics of my family, when I was born, my oldest brother was 16. My next sibling, my sister Nancy, was 14, then 12, then 10, then me. So they were at least 10 years older than me. So they had, that's where I got a lot of my musical influence, but I also would really cherish the time when they would come home from college or bring their families home when I was in junior high or high school and they had already started families. Our family gatherings were really a big deal at Christmas time, and they always ended up with us, my brother getting out his guitar, and we would sing songs, some old standards that my parents knew, but we'd always fall on John Prine songs. And one of the songs my brother would play was, this is why I was attracted to John Prine music at a young age. He had really funny songs. And this was one of them called Dear Abby that I thought was hilarious as a kid.
Dear Abby, my feet are too long. My hair's falling out. My rights are all wrong. My friends, they all tell me that I'm no friends at all. Won't you write me a letter? Won't you give me a call? Signed, Bewildered. Bewildered, bewildered, you have no complaint. You are what you are, and you ain't what you ain't. So listen up, Buster, listen up good. Stop wishing for bad luck and knocking on wood.
So the song goes on. There's another verse about Dear Abby, Dear Abby, my fountain pen leaks. My wife hollers at me, and my kids are all freaks. We always thought that was a funny verse, and my dad even thought it was funny, you know, going through the hippie movement and all that.
I'm just glad he used a fountain pen as the one fountain pen lover here on the show.
And I guess the sound of that, it's not everybody's cup of tea, and it maybe sounds generic folk sounding, and there's a lot of songs that have sounded like this, but nobody wrote a song and penned it just the way John Prine did. Sometimes very sad, very thoughtful. Sometimes, in this case, very funny.
Is that his genre? Would he be classified as folk?
Folk Americana, yeah, I would say so. Some put him in country, and he would get played on country music stations, especially in the 70s. Some of his songs were, he was, you know, classified as a country artist,
I would say. It's very Bob Dylan-ish.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this sounds very Dylan.
It does sound like a Dylan song.
Yeah. Dylan was a fan of John Prine's.
Yeah, huge fan. I always think of John Prine at the end of summer because, as I mentioned, when my brothers and sisters would go back to school, man, all of a sudden I was an only child again. And it sounds really stupid, but it was like John Prine was my friend and it was my sidekick. And this next song, Good Time, is, God, it's a beautiful song. And it was my brother's favorite song. And man, I used to listen to this song on repeat every August and September when it was time for my siblings to go back to college.
Success was something you just had to be, and I would spend myself annoyingly. And you know that I could have me a million more friends, and all I'd have to lose is my point of view. But I had no idea what a good time would cost till last night when I sat and talked with you. An apple.
This is another one we'd always play at our family gatherings. Always get about halfway through and then forget the lyrics. You ever do that
when you're,
when you're gathered around singing songs? What's the second verse again? No, that's the third verse. Nah. But that was always a standard. We'd always play Good Time.
Now there he sounds like, what's the guy that sang the song with the Jeff Bridges movie? Ryan Bingham?
Ryan Bingham. Yeah, a little bit. Raspy like, voice.
Yeah, Ryan Bingham's sounding John Prine-esque on that song. I didn't realize it.
Yeah. I'm sure Bingham, so many influenced by John Prine. Great song. Okay, here's another family gathering. I told you just a couple years ago, And my kids growing up would hear these John Prine songs at family gatherings. So they, I guess it was forced on them, but they liked them. And my oldest son, who's become really a music historian, he's really researched a lot of singer-songwriters. I tease him and call him a hipster because I think he looks into bands that may be considered cool or artists, but he's really become really very knowledgeable about singer-songwriters, and he became even a bigger John Prine fan than me. And it goes for my other two sons, too. And a couple of years ago, we saw John Prine at the Meyerson. And it's the only time I've ever seen him. And I think the second time my oldest son had seen him, my two other sons had never seen him before. And my daughter-in-law had never seen him before. And we all went. And we had this great evening with John Prine. And he played songs that got played at family gatherings. And he also played this song, which was his last single, and I'm so happy. You know, his albums never charted top 100 in country music. This one got up to number 2 country albums from a couple of years ago. This was the single on it. And as I told you, Summer's End was my big tie with John Prine, and that's the name of this song, and he played it that night. And I think it's his last great song that he put out there, if you want to turn it up, Big Jer.
I hope I didn't ruin your whole vacation. Well, you never know how far from home you're feeling until you've watched the shadows cross the ceiling. Well, I don't know, but I can see it snowing in your car. The windows are wide open. Just come on home. Come on home. No, you don't have to be alone. Just come on home.
It's really interesting as I saw
him. Boy, that is a great song there.
It is. Boy, yeah, listen to that one today. Mm-hmm. If you want to hear just the essence of John Prine. And I remember that night it struck me, and I may have mentioned this when I did a segment. You can keep this song going if you want, Jer, Under a Sun. Those songs that he wrote, like Hello in There and Don Lydia, which were odes to people who were growing old. Well, now he was the old man singing these songs. You can hear a change in his voice. He went through two battles with cancer. One took part of his neck, I think part of his tongue, or ligaments that attached to his tongue. Nerves that attached to his tongue, so his voice sounded different. He sounded like an old man. He looked like an old man. But he still toured, played these songs, and wrote so beautifully and was able to perform these songs. What a concert that was a couple of years ago, and I'm so glad
we did that. Aren't you glad you went?
Yeah, and didn't miss that experience, because I'd never seen him up until that point.
I know, and I can't tell you how many of my influential musical heroes that were from my youth, that when I got older and they were still coming through town, that I said, you know what, I'll catch them next time. And there wasn't a next time.
I know. I told y'all yesterday I've done that with Todd Rundgren through the years. I get him next. I can't go tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one pact I've made with. I've got to go see him when this is all over and we have people performing again. And one of his, I guess, most famous songs, You Never Even Called Me By My Name, he had the co-write on that with Steve Goodman. They almost wrote that as a joke song in New York City one night, and that was the big line that John Prine contributed as he was bouncing up and down on the hotel room bed saying, "And you never even called me by my name." And that turns out to be a huge anthem for David Allan Coe. And you go to Nashville, you go to Bakersfield, California, or Dallas, Texas, if a cover band plays that song,
it's always a hit. Everyone always sings a crowd pleaser.
Every word to it. That was John Prine.
I'm always interested in the career trajectory of a guy like John Prine, because just reading this morning the tributes to him from the true heavyweights in music, he was obviously revered, obviously incredibly talented, yet never really hit the big time, relatively speaking. And it makes me wonder why some guys like that don't explode. And then it makes me wonder, Well, a lot of the people that we see in music and we like in music, did they just explode because they had the right PR, they had the right look, they had the right hair?
Sure, absolutely.
They had the right agent, you know, and he had a great career, and I'm not lamenting a bad career or anything for him. He's obviously had this.
But you're right. He was in obscurity for, you know, a very cult following.
Yet when you hear people talk about him, you're like, how could this guy be in obscurity when he was such a genius?
It's a great point. And so he was classified as country, right, in the 70s. So he goes to Nashville. Well, all the singer-songwriters there are freaking out and want to work with him and look at him as, this guy is a god. But record executives, how do we sell that? How do we sell Sam Stone? That song just saws through your heart. How's that going to make it in country music? We're trying to talk about beer drinking and having a good time and going dancing on Saturday night. That's not going to cut it. And he didn't write songs like that. And I'm sure, I don't know this, but I'm sure he was presented with some really poppy country songs that he said, well, no, that's not me. I just write the songs that I feel and write the songs that I've experienced.
You know, watching that Ken Burns country music documentary, though, there were so many songs that did saw through your heart that artists went with and that ended up being their signature hit.
Right. And that's why record execs should look past the look, you know, and the marketability of someone. If the song, as we all know, as you see my emotional tie with a guy that I never met, we all know how powerful music, that's what it is. It's it's music. That's what's powerful. That's why John Prine songs will live for generations because of his absolute genius. I thought the New York Times had a great headline. He channels the human condition. And that's exactly right. That is John Prine. I've never heard it wrapped up better than anyone than that. He captures life. He captures the human condition, which frankly sometimes is really depressing. Sometimes it's really funny. And I laughed along with John Prine, and you know, some of his songs I thought, golly, that's just like too sad to write something like that. Mm-hmm. There's a hole in Daddy's arm where all the money goes. You can write about drug addiction. That short phrase, could you capsulize it any better than that, than he did?
You know, and that's what I find in McMurtry. Obviously, McMurtry is kind of my John Prine.
Oh, yeah. He's brilliant.
The first songwriter I heard that can capture something in two or three words that takes an essay to explain for most of us.
Yeah.
Those are the guys who, to me, they are in touch with some sort of, you know, almost kind of divine creation and greatness at channeling the human condition into words and melody.
Right.
And those type of guys, it seems to be very common that they only experience the low, constant hum of, it's kind of like the low, constant hum of greatness rather than the big, explosive hit. That
right.
happens with a lot of one-hit wonders, mm-hmm. which they capture some kind of greatness on a large scale, but it's the flash-in-the-pan type greatness. And there's just kind of the guys like Prine and McMurtry are never the worldwide famous sellout stadium guys.
Right.
But they just have this, it's not destined for that.
No.
If you have that level of greatness, you're destined to just go along and get along
right.
for your whole life.
I think that's a great point. And there was, I wouldn't be surprised if his music even goes next level now that he's gone.
Yeah.
And that it becomes even more of a legend now. And maybe you start hearing more of his songs on the radio. That Summer's End I've heard on several stations around Texas here the last couple of years. And I remember, and I've heard more covers of John Prine here in the last couple of years with some other bands that are getting radio play. He's had an amazing resurgence here in the last couple of years. Rolling Stone once said of John Prine, he's the Mark Twain of American music. I think that's a really good one. You mentioned Bob Dylan, Gordo, who always deferred to John Prine as a great lyricist. So did Bruce Springsteen. Late in his life, Johnny Cash said, John Prine is one of four artists that he listens to. I'm not sure who the other three were. I would hope you two would be one of them, maybe.
No, I've got him. Actually, Rodney Crowell.
Yeah, Rodney Crowell, yeah.
Guy mm-hmm. Clark and
yeah.
Steve Goodman.
And the great...
Or
Guy Clark, yeah, and Steve Goodman.
Those are Johnny Cash's big four, as he called them, and Prine was one of those.
Yeah.
Did you see the Roger Waters quote about him?
Yeah.
This is from 2008, so this is long before he passed away, obviously. He had this opinion of John Prine. He said, I don't really listen to new music too much. I listen to older stuff like John Prine. He's extraordinary. He's on a plane with Neil Young and John Lennon.
Yeah. And no, who would think someone from rock would say that about
right.
a guy who's Americana, folk, or country? Yeah, for me, he made me laugh. He made me feel something. Sometimes it was sadness, and sometimes it was very reflective, but what a guy, and what a songwriter. And as we mentioned earlier in the show, I don't know what it is, but I didn't get much sleep last night. Never met him. But isn't it weird how someone like that can have such a big impact on our lives? And maybe it's different with music and those melodies that will live forever. But I felt so connected to him. And yeah, that's why I broke up earlier.
Yeah.
It's just really sad.
It's a big loss. The great John Prine dies from complications due to coronavirus, dead at the age of 73.